do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Wieners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Lots to get into. UBC playoffs will be getting underway this weekend. We got four teams getting here going on the weekend, two of them at home, and we're going to start off with a little men's basketball. With us on the line, Matt Racher. And Matt, were you able to pick up the theme song that show is from, the theme song I was playing just as leading into you? Do you know what that is?
I have no idea.
Do you know the show True Blood, HBO, a new vampire show? Season one was this year. Anything?
Nope.
Anna Paquin won Best Supporting Actress for The Piano when she was like 11 years old.
Really?
Yeah, this was about 10, 15 years ago she got it. She's now the star of this show. Nothing?
Nope, sorry.
Okay, it's a small town in Louisiana, and vampires have just declared that they are in fact a part of society. They do in fact exist, and it's called True Blood because the reason they were able to come out in public is there's this drink the Japanese invented called True Blood, and the vampires can drink this and get all their blood nutrients out of the drink. They don't need to feast on humans anymore.
Well, that's a benefit.
What's up?
So that's a benefit.
Yeah, so there you go. So there's a show. If you ever want to go on, like, Shaw on Demand or, you know, because off-season's going to be coming up in about a month for you guys, so
you
should have more time on your hands.
Yep, that'll give me something to do.
There you go. True Blood, that's the name of the show. With us right now, Matt Racher, starting forward for the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. Matt, you're a fifth-year guy. This is your last crack at a national title as a UBC Thunderbird. The playoffs get underway this weekend. Three of your 4 years here, Matt, you guys have made it all the way to the national championship tournament, lost in the first round each one of those years. Quite frankly, it's a simple question, Matt. Is the goal for you, this is your last crack at it, a national title?
Yeah, I definitely feel like this is the year. Just looking at down the bench every guy that we have, I feel like I've never been more confident, and I've never been more sure that each and every person on our team is going to be able to take care of business. So.
Well, you get underway this weekend, Matt. It's a team you've played twice in your career in the playoffs so far at UBC. You beat them both times in the playoffs. You played them three times this year. You won all three games by at least 12 points or more. SFU will be here, the team from Burnaby, best 2 out of 3. Very favorable matchup, I think, for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we feel confident going into the weekend, but we know that they're a good team. I mean, they had a great result against Trinity a couple weeks ago, so... No, they're dangerous, and they're big and strong. They got a couple of good post players, a couple of good wing guys, and then Sean Burke's a pretty good point guard. So we're preparing hard to be ready for them.
And personally for you, Matt, this weekend you mentioned a couple big post guys for them. Greg Wallace and Matt Kuzminski, they're their top players, top scorers, along with who you said, Sean Burke. There, your job this weekend, Matt. I'm sure you're going to be on either Kuzminski or Wallace.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be helping out on Wallace. I'm doing a lot of work on him. He's a big, strong player. Likes to be physical down low, so it'll be a good weekend. It'll be a tough test, but we're going to enjoy it.
And, you know, you guys played SFU earlier on in the year, as I said, three games, and there was the one game here, first half versus SFU. It was the third and final meeting between you guys. You guys were actually trailing at halftime. Sean Burke tore you guys apart for SFU, came out with a big second half, but what went wrong in that first half at home versus SFU that you can't allow to happen this weekend?
Well, what really surprised us was part of their game plan. they really look to push the ball in transition, which is something that they haven't normally done in the past. Normally they've been trying to slow it down and play half court, but that game they really pushed it in transition, and Sean Burke did a really good job of getting to the hoop before we were ready to get back. So this weekend what we're trying to do is not let them do that, get back in transition and force them to play in the half court.
Guys, you know, Matt, you guys finished 21-2 on the season. You're the number two ranked team in the country. You pretty much do have sort of, because with wild cards being handed out in the playoffs, what they are, you sort of are allowed one slip up in the playoffs. But the fact remains, if you don't get out of this first round series, you won't be getting any sort of wild card. So this is huge for you guys this weekend.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely do or die. And that's something that we all look forward to all season, is coming into these games and playing must-win games. And these are truly our first must-win games of the year, so we're really excited for it.
And on a personal level, Matt, 109 games played in the Canada West during your career. You and Bryson Cool tied for the record, the two of you, in your 5 years playing 109 games. Every game, you guys were a member of the UBC Thunderbird team. You played. Your thoughts on that mark there, 109 games, you and Bryson tied for the record.
Well, of course, I'm extremely proud that I've been able to do that. But also, I'm extremely thankful for all the people that have helped me along the way. And we had seniors night last Saturday, and I got a chance to thank all of them. But I mean, there's been a ton of people that have helped us, and it's been great. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Cool. And, you know, we got to get back to the game this weekend versus SFU. But actually, no, that's not what I want to get. There's another cool series going on this weekend. UVic taking on Trinity Western. If you guys beat SFU, you'll be taking on the winner of that. UVic red hot, Trinity red hot going into the playoffs. They beat you guys in the second half of the season out in Langley. Vic's still a tough team. You didn't get to see them in the second half of the year. Who are you picking this weekend, Vic and Trinity, and what kind of series is that going to be, Matt?
That's going to be a great series. I mean, those two teams match up very, very well. They're very close in terms of how good they are and what they like to do. So it's going to be a great series. It's going to be big and physical with Mitch Gudgeon going against Dirksen and Vaughn in the post. So that's going to be good to watch. But I think Trinity is a really tough team to beat at home. I mean, they beat us when we went out there and played. So they do a great job. I think Vic's going to have a tough time to go in there and win 2 out of 3 in Langley. So
without saying it straight up there, you think Trinity Western's going to win?
I think definitely they have to be the favorite going into the weekend just because they're playing at home.
Awesome. Matt Racher, UBC Thunderbirds. UBC will be taking on SFU in a best 2 out of 3, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if necessary, at War Gym. All games at 7 p.m. Matt, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Matt Racher from the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. And CITR Radio, 101.9 FM, will be broadcasting all 3 games, if necessary, on the weekend. Well, lots to get into on Wiener's Barbecue here today. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, Howard Samura of the Vancouver province will be with us. We're going to be going over all the Canada West men's basketball playoff Pacific Division matchups, the two men's series, UBC and SFU, and we're going to talk a little bit about the UVic Trinity matchup. We'll also get into the women's side of things, and then if you want to stick around for women's basketball, they get their series underway this weekend, the UBC women. They will be traveling to a red-hot Victoria Vikes team on the weekend. UVic currently the number 6 ranked team in the country, winners of 15 of their last 16. UBC lost 2 of 3 to UVic during the year, so a tough matchup for them. Deb Huban, the head coach of the defending national champion UBC Thunderbird women team, will be with us right after 5 o'clock. And then I've got a couple interviews in the can. The UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, they're also defending national champions. They're going to be hosting the Brandon Bobcats this weekend, 4 o'clock every day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if necessary. Those games will also be at War Memorial Gymnasium. Those games will also be at CITR, on CITR, 101.9 FM. Doug Reimer, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women, will be with us. And then my final UBC interview, Milan Dragicevic. Big games for the men's hockey team. They're in a fight for their playoff lives. They'll be taking on the Regina Cougars this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the new Olympic Arena, and Milan Dragicevic will be with us. Those games will be on the web. And then to end the show today at about 5:45, we're going to talk a little baseball. I don't know if you followed that whole A-Rod thing on the weekend, but we'll be getting into it. Jerry Green from the Detroit Free Press. This is a guy who actually votes on the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's got a ballot, and I've interviewed him in the past. Love talking to him. We're going to talk to Jerry Green from the Detroit Free Press about this whole A-Rod thing, We can throw some Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. What a mess right now for Major League Baseball. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province will be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Nacht in der Pittige Finster rum mit Dumm. Steht hier in Gille verteuert und kommt sich herum. Von Regen schützt ihn nur Hand. Kuschel hält deren Hand und seine Augen beten jeden Stund. Ich hab schon nicht kein Kurach mehr rumzugehen im Gas. Hungrig und abgerissen von dem Regen nass. Ich schlipp herum, sich wundert in den Kinder, geht mir Schuhe verdienen. Alle lachen, machen von mir Spaß.
Hi, I'm Bryant Reeves of the Vancouver Grizzlies, and you're listening to CITR 101.9.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM. With us on the line right now, Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province. And Howard, a couple of months ago, we talked a little Vancouver Grizzlies together. Love talking to you about that. And one day I want to get into you with that whole Bryant Reeves story. So I let in with a little Bryant Reeves intro there.
Wow, that was a blast from the past. Daryl, I got to say off the top, your voice is breaking up a bit. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but I could clearly hear Big Country. And, boy, that takes you back a decade and a half, doesn't it? I mean, I remember on Grizzlies media days, we would walk by, each table, and so many of those Grizzly players were being asked to do spots for stations. And I remember, Brian Reeves and a lot of the guys doing the talking yellow pages back then, all of that kind of stuff. That's a blast from the past.
There you go. I believe, it was one of our guys, Sammy Goldman, went down on Grizzlies Media Day and got Bryant Reeves to do that station ID.
Wow, that's fun.
With us right now, Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province. Howard, am I coming in okay now?
Well, Daryl, I am having trouble hearing you. I think what I better do is I better reconnect with you from a landline.
Okay.
Yeah, I can barely hear what you're saying, but I do have the number here on my phone. If you give me 15 seconds, I will be right back to you.
Okay, Howard Samura, we'll just play a little quick music here. Howard, are we good now?
Daryl, I don't know what it is, but your voice is especially tough for me to hear. I'm back on a landline now. I'm not too sure what's going on here.
It might be from our end. Can we deal with this, Howard? Can we deal with this?
I'll try.
Okay. Awesome. With us right now, Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province. And Howard, I'd like to get into Canada West Pacific Division playoffs with you right now. They'll be getting underway all across the Lower Mainland on the weekend. And let's start off, though, Howard, on the men's side. Very exciting matchups. SFU 14-9, a big underdog versus 21-2 UBC. And then I think the marquee matchup will be UVic traveling to Trinity Western in what really should be a great series.
Yeah, I mean, they're two really compelling open round matchups, and I agree with you there, Daryl. I mean, if you were to start with that UBC SFU matchup, I think just building in the tradition that exists in the rivalry between the two schools, makes it special. And I think, as well, we do remember Simon Fraser in the regular season last season. Coming up with a victory against UBC at War Gym. So they, as a group, including their big guy in the middle, Greg Wallace, know that if they play their very best basketball, they have a chance to take one of those two games. The key here is to play your very best basketball of the season. That's what Simon Fraser has to bring. They have to bring a controlled, emotional, passionate performance to the floor over the weekend against those Thunderbirds because, we've seen, and as Chris Dick said to me last weekend, our identity is we are a team that doesn't have a team in the top 40 nationally in scoring, yet here we are ranked number two in the country. It's an imposing team to have to try and penetrate with seven or eight
or nine different guys that could step up and hurt you. So, you know, obviously SFU has its work cut out for it, but, you know, I think their whole MO is let's just play our best game, leave nothing on the floor, and let's see what happens in that series against UBC.
And a big loss for UBC, Howard. Josh White will be on the roster for UBC this weekend, but I'm guessing he will not be playing for UBC. He's got that ligament damage. That's a big loss for the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, he was wearing a boot, you know, on it for extra protection before last weekend. And, of course, he knew he wasn't going to be playing in those season finales against Fraser Valley. So, you know, that is a real huge loss. And at this point, it's one of those tricky injuries, you know, when you're looking at ligament in that area, you know, how the healing process happens. And, you know, I know it, the feeling I get is the T-Birds really don't know what the timetable is. I think if they could put a timetable on Josh White's injury, they would do so. They really don't know at this point. And I think, you know, it's up to that depth, you know, to really step up. Because if you look at how the minutes were distributed, Daryl, this year on that team, he was the one guy that got plus minutes above everybody else because he brought something, I think, pretty special to the point guard position, you know, in his first year with the team here. So it's a big thing to make up. But then I think you have to look at the fact that they got to national championships in past years with many of the guards that they have on this team right now. Chris Dick can play both spots, and you know Alex Murphy's a quality player. It's depth, it's a luxury that a lot of teams would like to have. Are they going to miss Josh White? For sure. But if anybody can make up for the loss of any one player, I think in this country, it's the UBC Thunderbirds.
The problem I see with Josh White not playing, Howard, is there have been games in the second half of the season especially where UBC's needed that player to step up, and if Chris Dick couldn't deliver, Josh White was the guy to do it. I think this puts a lot more pressure on Chris Dick in the playoffs, and I think a guy like Brent Malish, or I'm going to even say Nathan Yu, at times in these playoffs, if Josh White can't play, these guys are going to have to go on big runs.
Yeah, they are, and especially when you look at Nathan and you look at Brent Malish in terms of what they can offer. I mean, they offer different things to you on the court, but the one thing both guys can do is, you know, just flat out shoot the three ball, and that's a big, you know, item that you want in the playoffs. Obviously, you want to have strong outside shooting to free up things in the paint for you. So I agree, those two guys have to step up big. But I think if you've looked at Nathan Yu on a per minute basis, he's been one of the most improved players over the second half of the season. I think he's become a bit more of a presence, and perhaps this is the opportunity for him to step up into a much bigger role with this team.
And Kevin Hansen told me the starting point guard for UBC will be Alex Murphy right now, as long as Josh White is out. So Alex Murphy's been fighting to get into that starting lineup his career here at UBC, will get the chance in the opening rounds of the playoffs at least.
Yeah, and you know what? I've always loved Alex Murphy's game going back to St. George's, and just the fact that, you know, he's a guy that sees the floor so well, is so unselfish, but can be a scorer if he has to be, and he loves to play at a real, you know, top tempo. And that's what I like about what Alex Murphy can bring to that group. So we'll see what happens here. You know, obviously there's tweaking going on, but this is a team with so many different pieces to the puzzle and marquee players who sacrifice minutes all year. If you're going to take out, you know, the 30-ish type, whatever White was averaging per game, you know, you can incrementally add them to different positions on the floor and hope that you get what Josh White kind of offered you. Josh White is a very, very special player. No one's going to argue that, but this is a deep Thunderbird team and one that I think, you know, has the wherewithal to take some steps without him this weekend.
Okay, Howard, going to put you on the spot with picking teams this weekend. I pick UBC in two this weekend versus SFU. I think UBC wins Friday and Saturday.
Well, you know what? I think that's probably where the smart money is going here right now. I think, you know, people will have said Simon Fraser, if they took their Victoria and UBC results off, this would be a team that is one of the top teams in the country. I still think UBC's got what it takes to win this thing. I mean, I'm gonna say two, but if this thing goes three, I'm not the least bit surprised. And if it gets to three, I mean, all bets are off here.
The other one, Howard, I think will be an absolute fantastic matchup. I'm assuming you're going to try to make it down to Langley to see one of these games between UVic and Trinity Western. It's going to be a great series. Mitch Gudgeon versus Jacob Dirksen. Big battle in the middle there.
Yeah, big battle in the middle. You know, and obviously, you know what Gudgeon brings. You know what Tyler Haas brings. And so many of their quality Victoria players. And we've talked about this all year on the show, Daryl. The clash of styles when these two teams meet, you know, is so substantial. potential from a Trinity Western team that really wants to get up-tempo and score the basketball to a Victoria team that, you know, really wants to play you in the 60s if they can. So it's a real clash of wills. I think Victoria has shown the ability, though, this year that they haven't in past years, to get into more up-tempo games and to show that they can score with their team. And I think, you know, different guards have stepped up. I know Ryan McKinnon's been a real quality addition now in two seasons on that team. But Trinity Western, the way they were able to finish their season to get Jacob Dirksen back off that ankle injury and playing like he can, I think, in the last week of the season, I think was really, really key, you know, for Trinity Western to have that momentum and then confidence in their big guy in the middle heading into the postseason.
Well, I think a great thing about this series, Howard, and I think this one will go three, and I'm picking Trinity Western in three to win this series, is whoever wins it, even if you lose to what will probably be UBC the following weekend, you still will get that wild card to the Canada West Final Four, and you're going to be one game away from going to Nationals. So this is a huge game for these two, because a huge series, because whoever wins this series will, in essence, guarantee them spot in the final 16 for a national championship.
Well, and that's a huge carrot, isn't it? I mean, you take that carrot into, you know, this weekend, and really you start to go tooth and claw. You really... I mean, it's such a little room in terms of the margin for error, Daryl, and it was the same, you know, in this regular season series that Trinity beat Victoria, you know, in two of the three games, but the third game, I believe, was like a 3 or 4 point game. It was really close between these two teams. So you can't ask for anything more when you get it in the first round of the playoffs to be getting that almost that Canada West Championship final game type atmosphere in the first game of the Pacific Division playoffs. Obviously, that's very exciting, and to see two teams that, you know, have been in the rankings nationally this season. It's the best opening round series probably in the entire country. I don't think anybody would argue with you on that.
And Trinity Western, they're going to pack that gym for this one.
They will pack it, as the David E., as they call it, you know, has its basketball send-off. Yeah, it's going to be loud, absolutely loud in that place. And I think the only team Trinity fans would like to see more than the Vikes are the Thunderbirds in that setting, but they're going to get the Vikes, and it should be loud. It should be a great weekend of basketball. And with that series starting on the Thursday, clearly I know where I'm going to be on Thursday night.
You're picking that series, Howard. I'm picking Trinity Western in three.
I'm picking Trinity in three as well, with total respect to that Victoria program, the defense they bring, but just the late role that Trinity Western got on, even with Dirksen injured, still found ways to win big games, and especially impressive in wins over UBC and Calgary down the stretch. I don't think too many teams can boast of getting on that kind of a late season role when they needed to find chemistry, battled injuries. Trinity Western did it. I'll take them in three.
Because Trinity Western, UBC, if we do get that in round two here at War Memorial Gymnasium on UBC campus, that will be a fun one, especially for all those Trinity fans coming here.
Oh, it certainly will be. And, it, you know, if we haven't seen War as packed as we would have wanted to see it at various stages over the last few years, guarantee you this one will be full, and there will be some passion in the building for a series like that. But I think as long as UBC gets by this weekend, they're going to have a packed house regardless, because if it's not the Spartans, it's going to be the Vikes, and there's a lot of history there too.
All right, Howard, can we do some Howies right now for men's basketball? Can we do some Howies for Canada West basketball?
Oh, well, the Howies, I have to tell you, the Howies are a closely guarded secret. They're, I mean, being the mythical awards that they are, they actually haven't even been decided on at this point.
Okay.
But you know, the Howies will be in all their full splendor in the Friday edition of the province. We will have we'll honor the best of the BC only Pacific Division for men and women.
There you
so,
go. Love it.
I mean, it maybe our listenership may want to be guessing at, you know, some of the great Howie awards like MVP. I mean, there's so many great candidates on the men's and women's side this year that it should be fun, and I'll be pulling my hair out on Thursday as I put that together for Friday's paper. But thanks for asking.
There you go. Love it. And the women's side of the ball there, Howard. SFU, that matchup will be taken on Trinity Western. The Clan women, got to talk about them. One loss on the season. They'll be advancing to the next round, pretty much.
Well, I think if there's any opening round series that's a mismatch, that obviously is it. And this, you know, it would be, I think, even with Trinity Western at full strength, you'd have a hard time saying Trinity, the way Simon has played this year, would go in and steal a game. But when you take Laura Craig, their top player, their point guard, out of the mix with that torn ACL suffered, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it makes it even tougher. And Trinity, let's face it, has just basically backed into the playoffs. They have gone on a big slide in the the second half, and I think that one is Simon Fraser's for the taking. Simon Fraser in two, and I don't think anybody would argue with you on that one.
And a very good series will be UBC traveling to Victoria. The Vikes won two of three games between those teams in the regular season. UVic red hot going into the playoffs, led by their star player, star forward Kayla Dykstra. Winners of 15 of 16 are the Vikes. UBC, though, has been a pretty good team in the second half of the season. Still, though, tough matchup for the defending national champion UBC Thunderbird women in this one.
Yeah, and everything I say, obviously, is I would premise on the fact that UBC has taken massive strides as a team in terms of finding their chemistry down the stretch. And, you know, that's a different team, you know, that from the Christmas break onwards than they were in the first half. I mean, we called the game on CITR, Wilson Wong and myself, where the UVic Vikes absolutely annihilated the UBC women at home in the first half of the season. And it was stunning to watch how effective Victoria was that night. But that won't happen again. The way that the UBC team has improved, these are going to be close games. I think that much we can say. How this series is going to go, I think Victoria's late season run and the fact that, you know, they're largely veteran laden, you have to give them, you know, the edge based on home court and based on the fact that they've got the leading scorer, rebounder, and field percentage player in the conference in Kayla Dykstra and the season she's had as a senior. I'm picking this one in three games and picking Victoria to win it with full respect to the fact that UBC has really made some big improvements this year.
I'll go with you there, Howard. I'll say Victoria in three, but yeah, you just said it there. UBC defending national champion, but they lost their top three players last year to graduation, including, of course, Cade Haggerty and Erica McGinnis. Rough first half of the season for the Thunderbirds, but Deb Huban and the team, they salvaged this year with a solid second half, didn't they?
They really have. You look at that front court and the length and athleticism and size they can bring in a rotation of five big players with wingspan. You're not going to find that in many places in the country. It's just a group that needs to come together a bit more. It was a little surprising that Leanne Evans had decided to leave after her fourth year. I was caught a little off guard by that, but, I mean, she's meant so much to them, and really this is her final playoffs with the Thunderbirds. So, you know, she will give them all she has, obviously, this weekend, and you look at the fact that you know, Zara Huntley and Viewegg and you know, so many of those players have stepped up. Montana Dunmore have really become a cohesive front court unit. I think it's a real strength because we love the way the guards are progressing, especially Leah St. Pierre.
So Howard, are we going to see you here at a War Gym this weekend, or are you going to, where are you going
to
be?
Well, you know, I'm trying to play it by feel. I'm going to be obviously at the Trinity Vic game on Thursday. I'm thinking UBC SFU on Friday. To watch what's happening out there and see what happens from that point on and make up my mind the rest of the weekend. I mean, if I can have my way, I want games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You just don't want the season to end as many playoff games as I can see as how many I'd like to see this weekend.
Because everybody's in a different part of the city there, a different part of the province, Howard.
Yeah, I've never seen this before, but, you know, it is funny. Langley, Burnaby Mountain, Vancouver, and Victoria. Everybody gets the series. You know, my broadcast partner, Wilson Wong, obviously in Victoria, and he's going to see a great series between the Vikes and UBC women out there. And obviously you've got, you know, the call of the SFU UBC men. It's funny how it's spread out, but you know what? If you got to go out there and at least watch one game if you're a Canadian University basketball fan. It's the perfect weekend to start.
Awesome. Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province. Howard, sorry for our technical difficulties down here, but you bore with us there, and I do appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Daryl.
Awesome. Thanks, Howard. All right, that was Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province. And, yeah, we are suffering from some technical difficulties, apparently. It's not coming in right in my headset, but we trudge on here. We trudge on. All right, we're going to stay with UBC Thunderbird women's basketball right after the break. We're going to take a quick little timeout right now here on Wiener's Barbecue 101.9 FM. Once again, our radio schedule for the weekend here at CITR 101.9 FM. This Friday, we're going to be having lots going on. We're going to have on the web UBC Thunderbird Men's Hockey hosting the Regina Cougars. Big game there. That is going to be at 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Mike Wall will have the play-by-play via the web, 101 on CITR.ca. We're also going to have UBC Victoria Women's Basketball playoff action on the web. Those games start at 7 o'clock. CITR.ca, and on the radio, which will also be available on the web, we're going to have UBC Thunderbird Women's Volleyball, followed immediately by UBC Thunderbird Men's Basketball, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, respectively. Those games will all be on the radio. Okay, I got a little dizzy saying that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, Deb Huban head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team, will be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Killing time she never found. Devon Town, Devon Sales, your dirty shades of gray. Who is you and where you at? Thousand words and smile, man. Since Chess Shack, where are my friends? Show me at the hands. Funny, it was all the same. Man singing the ukulele, night turned into day. Eyes like solid pinnacle, a wing of laugh, flipping song, innocent, caught up, I sent my little French alone. And you always gave my space, I couldn't stand to your face. I still go and grind, true into an empty soul. In another city, God forgot, I left my living too hot. And you always gave, please don't leave me to this fate of mine. Today I came to town, this dead man's dream, this widow's gown, this bear from the devil's realm. Jealous to the end, the old folks in the drunken homes. The women roam, the battered ghosts, hearts of men are turned to stone, the children are in the dead. And your whiskey my disgrace, I couldn't stand to your face. I start going gray and true into an empty soul. Nighttime turning insane, and all that left for me to pray. Forgive me for a thousand nights that I will never know. Paradise lost, my past with a price. The wicked roll of the dice is all that it took. Gambling on another tab, bring it on, payment back. Testing by my hand, just like my sire, Christmas love. Some say he took it from my side, some say she had to kill my pride. Whiskey as my only guide, and I guess I was lost. When it's on that wicked dawn, and my side, she was gone. My heart's ain't like a tombstone into a lake of fire. Angel whiskey, my disgrace, I couldn't stand to your face. I start calling grand true into an empty soul. Nighttime turning into day, all the left for me to pray. Forgive me for a thousand nights that I will never know.
Welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. With us on the line right now, they get their Canada West Pacific Division playoff series underway this Friday night in Victoria. The head coach of the defending UBC national champion women's basketball team, Deb Huban. So, coach, playoffs get underway. Pretty tough matchup for you guys. Victoria 17-6 on the year, red hot going into the playoffs, winners of 15 of their last 16. You lost all three games to them this year, so this is a tough matchup for you guys this weekend.
Well, we actually split with them. We took one game out of the three.
I'm sorry, you're right. you won one of the two over there. I'm sorry.
So we're happy about that because it's nice to know that we can have success against that team. We're a young team, and I think the last time we played UVic was in 2008, so it's been quite a while, and hopefully, we've made some improvements with our young team, and are playing better than we were back then, and know what we're up against, which is going to be, a tough opponent, a defensive-minded opponent, with one of the best players in Canada West on their roster, so it should be a good matchup, but one that we're looking forward to.
I blew that right out of the chute. I don't even know what to do anymore.
What's that?
I don't know what to do. I blew the very first question. I'm completely rattled now. Should I just keep going?
That's okay. You'll think of something.
Okay, I'll think of something. I'll just keep going. Coach, you guys are the defending national champions. You've got three national titles in the last 5 years. It was a young team for you guys this year. Struggled in the first half of the season. Had a very good 2009. Finished with a 13-10 record. Your thoughts on the young team's performance this year?
Well, you know, I think we knew that with our young roster and the tough schedule that we had to start the year off, we knew we'd take our lumps. There'd be a steep learning curve and be a lot of learning to be done. But we feel like we've come a long way, and this weekend will be a really good test for us. Victoria's on a roll. They've had a strong 2009 part of their league play as well, and they're definitely confident and feeling positive about themselves. So, you know, I think it's a good matchup for us, and one that will let us know how far we've come from even the end of 2008.
What enabled you guys to sort of have this turnaround in the 2009 part of the season? Because it looked for most of the season you were going to struggle to even make the playoffs or at least play at SFU the first round, but you were really able to have a strong 2009 overtake Trinity for third place in the Pacific Division.
Well, I think a lot of that, too, is the schedule and the way the schedule is made out. We definitely had a tough draw in the first part with, a lot of top 10 CIS opponents and a lot of travel. When you're faced with that to kick off your season with a young team, it's going to be really tough. And we knew that the second part of our season was a lot more forgiving with more home court advantage and softer opponents. So, you know, even though our standings and our record was bleak in December, we knew that there was a great possibility for us to improve as the season went on, and we did just that.
And tell us about, as you mentioned, a star player you'll be going up against this weekend, Kayla Dykstra for the UVic Vikes. 19 points per game, led the conference there. 11 rebounds, led the conference in that category also. Can't do much better than that, can you?
No, she's had a really solid season, and much of what they do is geared towards giving her touches. And, I think, though, with our matchup, we're one of the bigger teams in Canada West, so I think we match up better than with them than a lot of other teams do. But she'll definitely be a handful, and, not only for what she's able to do in and around the paint, but the number of touches that she gets and the opportunities that she gets are quite staggering as well.
So what do you guys have to do as a team to shut that down?
Or
what do you guys have to do as a team to, say, contain her on the weekend?
Well, I think part of it is to try not to give up, deep position in the paint, definitely keeping her off of the boards. But they do a really good job of finding multiple passing angles into her. So, ball pressure, extending our defense out a little bit to, not allow the ball to move freely offensively for them will be key.
And Coach, looking at the matchups between you guys this year, you beat them by 4 points in Victoria earlier on in the year, and then you lost by 16 and 31 points respectively in the other two games. What did you do in the game you won by 4 that you couldn't do in the other ones?
Good question. I think sometimes when things don't go well and they spiral for you, I think that's what happened in the bigger loss. I think we just kind of imploded and things spiraled down for us, whereas for them it gave them a lot of energy. So I think, I watched that tape the other day, and we certainly couldn't have played much worse in all aspects of the game. So hopefully we won't see that kind of performance again for a long, long time.
Deb Huban, head coach, UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team. So, Coach, the biggest thing you guys have to do to pull off the upset win in Victoria this weekend, what's the number one key for UBC Thunderbird women's basketball?
Well, we know they're going to come out and put some heat on us and pressure us, so we have to be able to withstand the defensive pressure and execute through it. I think we're a deeper team. I think we're a little bit more multifaceted of a team, but the key will be, can we get into our offensive sets, and can we execute the way that we would like through their pressure?
Because I do have to say, this was a UVic team. You guys won the national championship last year, but they took you guys to the limit last year in the first round of the playoffs right here at Ward Gym.
Yeah, no question. They're a solid program, and they compete hard. And, you know, they're right there with the top teams in the country. So, you know, on any given night, I think, you know, they last year as well could challenge the top-ranked team. And so, I mean, I have a lot of respect for the way they're playing right now, the way they defend, and their work ethic.
Best of luck this weekend, Coach. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much, Daryl.
Okay, that was Dad Huban, head coach, UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team. They will be in Victoria on the weekend. Wilson Wong will be doing that game for us here at CITR 101.9 FM. That game will be available live on the internet starting at 7 p.m. on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if necessary, at CITR.ca. Well, also going on for the UBC Thunderbirds this weekend, big playoff rounds for the volleyball teams. Both the men and the women are going to be getting their playoffs underway. UBC, the women, will be hosting the Brandon Bobcats this weekend. While the men, it's kind of the complete opposite. They will be traveling on the road this weekend. Hold on here. Yeah, that's right. They will be traveling on the road this weekend to the University of Brandon. A big weekend for the men. If they win that series in Brandon on the weekend, they will advance to the Canada West Final Four. And the way it works is all four teams from the Canada West Final Four go to the national championship. So, you know, you win this weekend for the UBC men, you go to the national championship tournament. If you lose this weekend, you will not be going to the national championship tournament. For the UBC Thunderbird women, they will also be hosting the Brandon Bobcats. And the UBC Thunderbird women had to really get it done this weekend to be able to host the series. Last weekend, to be able to host the series this weekend, they were able to defeat Brandon in both games right here at War Memorial Gymnasium. And I caught up with the head coach of the defending national champion UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, Doug Reimer, to talk about the weekend for UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball. I am with Doug Reimer, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. And, Coach, the playoffs get underway this weekend. The Brandon Bobcats coming to town, a team you swept last weekend to get this home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. This is also a Brandon team you have beaten six straight times over the last 2 years. Your team's on an eight-game winning streak, so you have to be happy with the way things are going heading into the playoffs.
Yes, but coaches are always a little nervous, so Brandon played us very tough, and they had a couple of players that are out with injuries, so we got a little extra work to do in terms of our prep for them. And they've pushed us to 5-4 hard in many of those games. So not to be taken lightly.
And before we get into the matchup here, Coach, between the two teams this weekend, how's your team heading into the playoff health-wise, including maybe your star player, Liz Cordonnier? How's her health coming?
She played for the first time since December, part of the time last weekend. So we're hoping that she'll be able to play more points this coming weekend.
And so it's her ankle, I believe, and what is it? It's just a bad sprain right now?
Yeah, it was a bad sprain that just didn't come around, lots of scar tissue and stuff that was holding her back.
So defending national champions, Coach, it took you guys a long time to get that national championship. Now you have it. How you feel going into the playoffs as the defending national champion?
Till people like you remind me, I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it. Focused much more on just, you know, getting a chance to get back there. Glad if we get back there, I'll have lots of good memories of Fredericton.
There you go. And the matchup between you and Brandon this weekend, you said they have some players coming off of injury. Who are these players, and what kind of matchup are we looking at between the two teams?
Probably the one most likely to play is, her name is Ashley Creighton, and she's about a 6'1" middle blocker and, you know, one of their, if not their best player in the top two players. Their power hitters have been doing pretty well, and especially one, Tegan Hunter, maybe doesn't show tremendous volume, but she really held him in there, and she was tough as nails most of the time. So they're, you know, those are two of the people on their side of the court that I think are really solid, and they were getting, they've just played great defense against us on the Saturday night.
So overall, what does UBC have to do to pull off the win this weekend?
you know, this will sound pretty basic, but if we serve, we have to outserve them. I mean, serve tough and just put them in trouble, get them out of their rhythm, because I think that's where they struggle a little bit. And if we need to pass the ball, serve, receive well on our side. So serving and passing.
So how is it, Coach, right now? You know, you've got the series this weekend versus Brandon. Then you go to the Canada West Final Four, where three teams go to Nationals, and then you're back in the tournament. I mean, is this the favorite time of the year for a coach?
I think it is, yes. The way I like to look at it is we could have one weekend of volleyball left, or we could be playing on the other end eight more matches. So when you look at a league schedule that only lasts for 20 games, that's like, you know.
Almost half your schedule,
you
yeah.
got it. Then you get the chance to do again. And I think this is the best for sure. I'm happy. You know, while you're nervous, you're worried about it, you're also pretty thankful you're in position hosting and being able to, you know, get a crack at it.
There you go. Doug Reimer, head coach, UBC Thunderbird Women's Volleyball. And, Coach, I just want to ask you one more question off topic, okay?
Uh-oh.
Okay, because I did it
this
last year.
This is always trouble.
Well, I did it last year with you involving the Academy Awards, and you actually told me who was going to win Best Animated Feature.
He got a pretty good memory.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw it at you again. The nominations for Animated Feature this year, because I'm assuming you've watched maybe these with your daughter, correct? That's who you saw it with before?
Yeah, I don't know if we've been on the theater much, but go.
Okay, we have WALL-E, Kung Fu Panda, and Bolt. Those are the three nominees.
What was the third?
Bolt.
Okay.
It's the one where John Travolta was the dog.
Yeah, didn't see that one. Saw the first two. Kung Fu Panda is my daughter's absolute favorite, including lunch bags and backpacks.
Okay.
But we did see WALL-E. I'm going with WALL-E.
There you go. See, I knew you'd know this, Coach. I knew you'd know this.
Sad state of my social life that I can only comment on the animated films, right?
That's all I'm going to ask you, because you did flunk out on everything else last year, so I'll leave it at that. Best of luck this weekend, Coach.
Narrowing the focus.
Thanks a lot. Best of luck this weekend, Coach.
Bye.
All right, that was Doug Reimer, head coach, UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. Yeah, he told me last year Ratatouille was going to win Best Animated Feature, and lo and behold, and I think WALL-E is a pretty safe bet. But nonetheless, I assume he's called it again. All right, everybody, you're listening to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. We're doing a lot of UBC Thunderbird athletics today because it's playoffs. Playoffs getting underway for UBC this weekend. Once again, the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, they are going to be playing right here at War Memorial Gymnasium, so you should come and check it out. 4 o'clock, they will be taking on the Brandon Bobcats. That game can be heard on CITR 101.9 FM on CITR.ca. Also, I believe. I think you can get it on radio and the internet. But you should come out and check it out live also. 4 p.m. It'll start at War Memorial Gym Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if necessary. And then, of course, the other game going on this weekend at War Memorial Gym at 7 o'clock. It's the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. Their playoffs get underway. And UBC is a there's this thing this year in the playoffs. The way it works is you kind of have this wild card buffer. That's how UBC's earned it with their regular season, where if they lose in the second round, they'll still probably get to the Canada West Final Four. And if they lose one of the games in the Canada West Final Four, they still probably get that national wild card berth. That's sort of the way it's kind of works out this year. But if they don't get out of round one this weekend versus SFU, none of those wild cards will come into play. So best 2 out of 3 for the UBC Thunderbird men. They finished 21-2 on the year. They'll be taking on a pretty good SFU team, finished 14-9. UBC won all 3 games in the regular season this year. That will be on at 7 p.m. on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if necessary. And I hope they wrap it up in 2, because I have Canuck Hab tickets for the Sunday. So we'll see what happens. All right, final interview today for UBC Thunderbird Sports. I caught up with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, Milan Dragosevic, earlier in the day. UBC currently sitting in 6th place in the Canada West standings right now, or I should say tied for 5th with Regina. UBC and Regina both with 20 points, and the way it works here is 6 teams make the playoffs, so UBC currently would have that 6th spot right now based on the tiebreaker. But seventh is Calgary at 19 points. So Calgary nipping on both UBC and Regina's tail. So it's going to be a pretty tight one going here down the stretch with only four games to go. UBC finishes up the season at home this weekend versus Regina, and then a big one again next weekend at the University of Calgary. So we'll see what happens. Well, I caught up with the head coach for more on this. I caught up with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, Milan Dragicevic, earlier on in the day. All right, here I am with Milan Dragicevic, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. And, coach, things going better for your team as of late. What has gotten you guys out of your little slump there, coach?
Well, a combination. We've won four out of five. And a combination of, you know, timely saves, good goaltending by Francois Touat, and having our power play click. Our power play went from seventh in the league to, I believe, we're third in the league right now as far as percentage, just because we're starting to score some goals and creating some offense and continuity of lines, establishing some roles for, you know, for the third and fourth lines to be shut down guys and winning some faceoffs and having some puck possession. So I think it's a combination of doing a lot of little things right.
Yeah, and coach, beating Saskatchewan last weekend, and you mentioned Francois Touat, 42 saves for him in a 2-1 victory last weekend on the Saturday night. How good of a goaltending performance was that for Francois Touat?
Well, I thought he was really sharp, especially early on. They outshot us 15-6 in the first period, and he was the difference. And, you know, you need goaltending, especially on the road. And he made the saves, the timely saves when we needed it. And, you know, we were shorthanded the last 4 minutes or so, in the last 10 minutes in the third period. And, you know, he was our best penalty killer. So, you know, he's got the ball. Jerry Festa's been out for the, you know, for the last 6 weeks because of injury. So, you know, Frankie knows he's going to play every game. So, you know, to us, 90% of our team is goaltending, and as he rolls, we roll.
So break down the matchup this weekend. Regina coming in here, coach, two big games, obviously, on the weekend. You're currently tied, basically, with Regina for fifth place in the Canada West right now. Six teams make the playoffs, and Calgary, who you'll play in the final weekend of the season, nipping at both your heels, 1 point behind both you and Regina. So four big games to end the year, coach. Break down the matchup, though, you and Regina on the weekend.
Well, Regina's a really good team. They've won three out of four games. You know, they beat Alberta there the other night. So they're a really tough, patient play their systems very well. They're big. They're aggressive. They're built very similar to us, and they understand that this weekend is, you know, is a do or die weekend for both teams. And you know, if either team sweeps, they're guaranteed a spot in the playoffs. So that's the way we got to look at it. Is, you know, we're not focused on Saturday. We're focused on Friday and beating Regina and doing little things right. We're treating this like a playoff weekend for us. It's basically do or die.
And, you know, coach, it's quite interesting right now. You know, you're tied for fifth. You're in sixth with the tiebreaker right now. But in essence, you can still catch Lethbridge and get home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs. That's still in play here.
Yeah, you know, that shouldn't be our focus. But we, you know, we do look at, you know, out-of-town scores and stuff like that. But Lethbridge, you know, they beat Alberta last weekend in Alberta. So, you know, it's a tough stretch. We just want to make sure that we play well at home and take care of our own business, and instead of looking at other people to help us.
It seems like this Canada West Conference, teams can beat teams more than other years.
You know, there's not a big separation. If you look at, you know, I think Alberta obviously is the class of the league, but then 2-7, everyone's beating each other. And it's probably the best parity that we've ever had. And there's going to be a really good team that doesn't make the playoffs.
Terrific. Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Coach, thanks so much for doing this, and best of luck this weekend. You got some big games here.
Yeah, thank you very much,
okay.
Carl.
All right, that was Milan Dragicevic. Once again, they'll be playing Regina at home this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Big games for the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Rounding out our UBC coverage for the show this weekend, the UBC Thunderbird women. They've got a big games going on this weekend. They're going to be traveling to Lethbridge. UBC currently in a fight right now with the University of Regina to make the playoffs. Both UBC and Regina fighting for that final playoff spot, tied with 15 points. UBC, though, with a big advantage. They will be traveling to Lethbridge. Lethbridge with only 7 points in 22 games this year. They're 3-18-1, so not a very good season for Lethbridge. And Regina, they're going to be hosting the University of Alberta. Regina currently 7-14-1, same as UBC for 15 points in 22 games. Alberta, though, 20-2, 40 points in 22 games. They are the powerhouse. However, if UBC is able to take out Regina this weekend, they're going to be traveling to either Manitoba or Alberta, who have a combined record between them of 39-4-1. So even if you do make the playoffs, it will be a very difficult first-round matchup for the UBC women's hockey team. All right, everybody, we are going to take a break here on Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, 101.9 FM. I had the flu last week. I'm doing a little better now, but still a little tired, you know, still a little tired. I actually came here last week, and I kind of just put on an old basketball game, so hopefully that didn't suck if you were listening last week, but if you enjoyed it, good. Anyways, folks, left on the show today, Jerry Green of the Detroit Free Press, and pretty excited to talk to him. Jerry Green, one of the, I'll say, senior members of the Major League Baseball Writers Association. I believe he also votes on the NFL Hall of Fame. So it'll be nice to have him on, because we're going to be talking about this whole A-Rod thing with baseball. And, you know, A-Rod most likely will eventually break Barry Bonds' record. And if you don't know what's going on, is Alex Rodriguez, it came out, Sports Illustrated cracked the story. It came out in the years 2001 to 2003. He was on steroids. And here's a guy who was going to be the guy that saved baseball, or one of the guys that saved a record, at least in baseball, who was eventually going to break steroid user Barry Bonds' record. Well, now it looks like the guy who's going to break Bonds' record also on the juice. So, sad day for the records in Major League Baseball. So, Jerry Green from the Detroit Free Press will be with us a little later on in the show. All right, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
You were there and you were gone along the levees, soaring up and down. I ran, ran until I saw the fire in your eyes. Howling bullet poetry took away your love for me. Where we the ones were, we're not in vain. I was filled with wicked blood and tried to fall through the mud. Vengeance fell in your name, vengeance not in vain. Faded before my eyes, so a curse for war is worn. Clouded so down, God, to judgment day when you will face my wrath. Follow blood, limb with limb, or will the rains ever come to a wash? Where the bird is bangless like stones. Tears aren't enough to calm the spirits out into their room. Will you haunt a fair town, find a beast at last? Let your guns sing the songs that your bullets ride over.
Let your guns sing the songs that your bullets ride over.
Il est des armes de chanter, tant la vie sans rien trouver.
Les armes chantées, sans lui sans rien trouver, sans lui sans rien trouver.
Feel the blood song through, bounce out of last and one. In the smoke and the fire, can you see the bullets run? Fire
songs, hit your bullets right or wrong.
Extra guns in the songs, hit your bullets right or wrong.
Il laisse les armes rechanter, les temps, lui sans rien trouver.
Il laisse les armes rechanter, les temps, lui sans rien trouver. Les temps, lui sans rien trouver.
Ya dejé a mis amores por la orilla del mar. Dejé a mis amores que nunca voy a olvidar. Escapé de los pantanos buscando dónde trabajar. Yo escapé.
Everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. With us on the line right now, we're going to get into a little, well, you know, something you don't like to have to talk about in the world of baseball, but it's reared its ugly head again. Jerry Green from the Detroit Free Press. Had you on before, Jerry. And Jerry, thanks so much for doing this.
Carl, thank you very much. I hope you weren't referring to my ugly head.
Definitely not, Jerry.
I do want to straighten one thing out. I have great admiration for the Detroit Free Press. I work for the Detroit News.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Okay.
Gotcha. Sorry about that, Jerry. I knew that.
Of course you did. I probably corrected you before.
Jerry, we have to talk about what just went on the weekend and its ramifications for not only baseball currently, but the history of baseball and how we're going to look back on it in, say, 10, 20 years. Arguably the greatest player of his era, Alex Rodriguez, has come out, has admitted that he used steroids over a three-year period. Jerry, this has been a big story in baseball for almost the last 10 years now, and you're looking at right now, Jerry, probably the three greatest players of this era over the last 15 years, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, and now Alex Rodriguez, all at one time or another, it appears, juiced on steroids. This isn't good.
I think, if you recall, there was a home run battle between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa about less than 10 years. No, it was 10 years ago.
10 years ago
so
this year.
That
yeah.
would fit into the same, but I like to refer to it as the Bud Selig era. He's the commissioner, the guy who canceled the World Series. I think baseball is at a point that it has been humiliated by its best players. I think it's disgraceful. Some of these things that these guys took were not illegal when they took them, but they knew they were enhancing their bodies. So they are guilty. I think baseball itself is guilty. I think the players' union is guilty. And the byproduct is that the Super Bowl we saw a couple of 10 days ago, pro football is actually stronger because of baseball's own failings. That's a byproduct.
Yeah, Jerry, I mean, so basically, because you know where all this is coming from right now, one thing is Major League Baseball themselves hasn't come out themselves and admitted that they've done anything wrong. They obviously knew these players were doing it, and now that it's coming out that these players are guilty, they're kind of just throwing them under the bus. We do have to blame baseball for completely turning a blind eye on this one, don't we?
I absolutely agree with that. As I said, I started off with the Bud Selig era. I blame the commissioner and the players' union, Donald Fair, who was in charge of the players' association. They are at fault also. And it bothers me that Jose Canseco was right. I don't like squealers. I don't like snitches, but he was right. And he's the only guy profiting from the whole thing because of the book sales. I think that the game has been marred terribly, unfortunately. It has been, you said thrown under the bus. I say thrown into the trash. Whatever. It is a question that some of the best ball players in history, certainly modern history, are all going to be left out of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, Jerry, I mean, before we get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and this is something you have a great amount of knowledge on, and you actually get a vote for membership of the Baseball Hall of Fame, but, you know, one of the all-time great Detroit Tigers, Hank Greenberg, he almost broke Babe Ruth's home run record one year. I believe he ended up with 58 home runs during his peak season. That was the revered record. It was Babe Ruth hitting 60, Roger Maris hitting 61. That record, it honestly seems now, Jerry, doesn't matter one bit anymore. That record is just almost ruined till the end of time now.
I agree, until somebody hits 800 home runs. And then he'll be suspect.
Exactly.
Whoever that, the guy who broke Babe Ruth's the record that I regard as even more important, the 714 home runs in his career. Henry Aaron. You know, he was a slender man with a great deal of dignity, and I think those records should be put back into the book as the top records. I'll say that. I think Aaron's record should be the most home runs of all time, not Bonds. I think the same with the single season record, that Maris's 61 should. The rest of them should have some sort of notation or asterisk. That all said, when these guys come up on the ballot for the Hall of Fame, and I keep going to, in that direction because that's going to be a story for the next many, many years, I'll probably vote for them. I voted for McGuire this past election. I was one, deep in the minority, but I voted for him because I thought what he did still was exemplary. And on the other hand, I get a little upset with sports writers moralizing all the time. And, sports writers moralize, and a lot of them are immoral while moralizing. So there's some hypocrisy there.
So, Jerry, I do find it interesting. You think there should be asterisks on, say, Bonds' records, but you would still vote for Barry Bonds to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right, because I don't think we I don't think character should be an issue when we vote for the Hall of Fame. I think it's accomplishments on a ball field. I would vote for Pete Rose for that same reason. His character is less than exemplary, but on the other hand, he did sensational things on the ball field. And, it's odd. Look at the politicians. We here in the States have a new Secretary of the Treasury
who
cheated on his taxes.
Yeah.
it's not just baseball.
But there is something, though, Jerry, that Pete Rose was kicked out of baseball for betting on it when he was a manager. Who knows what he exactly did? I don't think that will ever come out. But the fact is that these guys, I mean, let's face it, without the steroids, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens do not put up the numbers they did. They probably are Hall of Famers anyways without the steroids, and that's the real tragedy in this whole thing. But, you know, Clemens doesn't win the 7 Cy Young Awards. Bonds doesn't win all those MVPs that he did, and he doesn't hit the 73 home runs in one season.
Probably not. I mean, but we can't be sure of that. What interests me is that I think Clemens played on one World Series winner. Bonds never played on one. Alex Rodriguez has been a bust in the postseason almost every time he's been in it. And he's never played on a champion. So here you have the guys taking these illegal or, you know, body enhancers, yet at the same time, they're not winning the ultimate championships. And I find that a bit strange.
Jerry, do you think the public should be able to find out? Do you have any interest in finding out who these other 101 names are who tested positive for steroids in that 2003 test? Do we even want to know who these names are?
I sure do. I'm going to say something here now. There are ball players we've suspected that they're probably on that list. And I think if they put Alex Rodriguez out and he was outed, I think the others should come out also. I think, again, I believe that is the responsibility of the Commissioner of Baseball, and I think he should do it. And there's a story last week that Bud Selig earns annually now $18 million plus U.S. And, you know, that's a load of money. That's Manny Ramirez records money. And, you know, what is his responsibility? I mean, he is responsible to the people who love baseball. the public. I think that, and I think he has not done his duty. He's been irresponsible.
So Jerry, Major League Baseball, though, the Hall of Fame, you know, where all these guys stand, and it's going to, as you said, come up in recent years, and the big one is going to be Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Your gut feeling as of right now when these guys become eligible, because I'm convinced Bonds and Clemens would have been Hall of Famers. I mean, you could just look at their careers and look at their builds. They would have been Hall of Famers without the steroids, but these guys did it, and Bonds might go to jail. Clemens might end up going to jail for lying to Congress. Your gut feeling and talking to your writer friends right now who also vote on the Hall of Fame, what's going to happen with these players?
Well, I don't think either one of them will ever be elected. I mean, look at McGuire gets less than half the votes, and, you know, he has not been run through as much as Clemens and Bonds, and now Rodriguez. And I don't think they'll get in. I really don't think they'll ever get in. And you're right. They would have gotten in. If they'd been Simon Pure throughout their careers, they would walk in on the first ballot. And now it's my opinion, even though I'll vote with the minority, that, you know, if I'm still voting then, that I don't think they'll ever get in. And it's... Well, they'll have to live with that.
Because, you know, you look at the revered Hall of Fame classes, you know, the recent one of Kirby Puckett, I'm sorry, of Cal Ripken Jr. and Tony Gwynn, and I remember when I was younger, it was a really cool year when George Brett and Robin Yount got in on the same year. I mean, these are revered players. These are revered people. Baseball, they don't have those guys anymore, it seems. They don't have these idols for the public anymore, do they?
Well... No, mostly not. I think, you know, I'm trying to think of a ball player right now who fits into that category, and right off the top of my head, I can't. I really can't. I'm sure there are some that if I sat, well, Pedroia from the Red Sox, he might fit into that category now. He won the... He was the MVP in the American League this past year. I think the Blue Jays have a pitcher who is in that category, Halliday. And but they're so far they haven't been accused, and we have to believe that they are have been ethical throughout.
Yeah, did you see this happening when it was going on, Jerry? Did you buy the thing that these guys were just working out and were greater players and all that kind of stuff, or were we pretty naive to not know what was going on at the time?
Well, until the story started breaking, I didn't know, and then I suspected everybody, I guess.
Yeah.
Or most everybody. You know, there's some guys... You talk about releasing the other names, 103 names? I would like to see it because I suspect some names, and I have not mentioned anybody's name because I don't want to throw a name out there. I'm not that kind of reporter. Others might. I believe that there are other guys who are prominent ball players who are on that... list who would be in that group, and I just, I want to confirm my own suspicion.
Right. The one guy I personally, and I don't know if I'm right or not, but the one guy I personally think was clean, and we saw it because once the steroid era kicked off, he just kept getting injured all the time, and it was a guy I got to see in Seattle a lot of times, and he was so fun to go watch down there. The guy I'm guessing was clean was Ken Griffey Jr. That's just my personal opinion. But
I would think so. I thought you were going to say Ichiro, but, yeah, Ken Griffey Jr., who is a tremendous ball player and should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I have never heard of any rumors or anything regarding him.
What's going to happen, though, Jerry? Because the big one, as you mentioned, the career home run record, and this is the real shame here is, and I thought it too, Alex Rodriguez, 4, 5, 6 years from now, breaks Barry Bonds' home run record and really brings it back to the clean, non-steroid user. That's out the window now. So you're going to have most likely another guy break Barry Bonds' record who will be an admitted steroid user. That's what just happened here also. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about records that are the biggest records, most important records in U.S. sports, I would say. And that home run record, we're all fascinated by the home run. And it's the most dramatic play in baseball in my mind. I personally have felt home runs are overrated because Bonds has never played on a World Series winner, and others who have been home run hitters also have not played on World Series winners. And you know, I find that ironic, really.
But it is kind of sad that this Babe Ruth record, which turned into Henry Aaron's record, it's the record, as you said, the single-season home run record, the career home run record. I compare it to an Olympic time that everybody knows the guy who put that time up was a steroid user, and nobody's ever going to be able to break that record because, of, you know, I mean.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of somebody here. Somebody who you're thinking of probably, too.
Mr. Ben
Johnson?
What's up? Mr. Ben Johnson?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know enough about steroids to... does it make you run faster? Do they make you stronger? I think they do. I think they enhance the muscles. I also believe that steroids have a negative effect on people's behavior. I think it makes them a little goofy. I know the steroids are used in the treatment of cancer victims, and sometimes the victims become a little bit odd and strange in their behavior.
Because, Jerry, I mean, everybody has to agree on this. I think the big problem with the steroid use in professional sports and with what happened in baseball is it's telling the high school kids, it's telling the minor league players, it's telling those players who are fighting for a starting job that if you want to get better, this is what you're going to have to do.
Well, it was telling them. I don't think there are going to be too many guys who violate this these rules right now. And, you know, anybody who does is really got a mental problem.
Yeah.
Because it's just plain stupid and ignorant to do that. Rodriguez used some of those words, I guess. He used the word naive. And how naive was he, really? You know, really, he was trying to slip himself off the hook and in some regard. But I really think that if they're suspending ball players for 50 games or 50 days now for usage, I think he ought to be suspended for the first 50 games of the 2009 season. I think Bonds isn't playing anymore, and I doubt if he'll ever play again. The same with Clemens, but they are in thick soup, and you know their accomplishments are questioned. Their lives have been tarnished, and as you said, they might wind up in prison. And it's not the biggest tragedy that has befallen mankind in recent years. It's just something in sports.
Yeah.
On the other hand, a lot of kids are disillusioned now with they're role models, and I've always maintained that athletes should not be considered role models anyway. I think the parents are should be, but that's another story.
Well, Jerry, I do want to ask you, though, you know, I when I was young, you got to cover what I thought was a team that actually had role models on it. And, you know, just looking back at who these guys are, I really like these guys. And you got to know them, obviously, on a personal level very well. And you talk about baseball today, and I want to ask you, that mid-1980s Detroit Tiger team of Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker, Sparky Anderson, Kurt Gibson, Jack Morris, I mean, you mentioned you can't think of role models today. That team right there, you got to cover that team there. Yeah. Was that a team of role models?
Well, you know, I wouldn't use them as role models, but, I mean, I regard Alan Trammell as one of the finest human beings I've ever met, certainly in sports. And I think there are guys who are not on, in the Hall of Fame that should be from that team. I'll use Jack Morris as an example. There have been a lot of pitchers who won fewer than Morris's 260 or 261 games who got into the Hall of Fame. And Jack Morris is not in the Hall of Fame in my mind simply because he did not get along with most of the people who cover the Tigers, the writers, the TV guys, the radio guys. He didn't particularly care to be interviewed. Whatever he was, and you know, somehow I got along with all the guys nobody else would get along with. I mean, which is strange. I got along with Kirk Gibson, the Pistons. I got along with Bill Lampier, and you know, I got along with John McEnroe. I got along with Bob Knight, the basketball coach. All guys who were offended. My colleagues in the media, and for some reason, so I'm strange in that regard. But I believe that Morris belongs in. I believe a baseball writer who votes for the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown should not consider his personal relationship, his whatever animosity he has toward the individual ball player. If the ball player qualified, he should be voted for him, whether the voter liked the guy or not. That's how I believe, and I think that's hypocritical of my own people in my own profession.
Thanks so much for doing this, Jerry Green. And Jerry, one last question here. You did mention it. I've heard John McEnroe off court is a nice guy, but you mentioned there Bobby Knight. What was the general Bobby Knight like? You said you got along with him, so what was this guy like?
What was he like? He was very interesting. He was very stubborn. He had he has a hellacious temper.